I think about the testimony this morning. I think about what he said. He basically found a little America down there. and in America, we just have to stay faithfully at it. You know, we pass out, we mail out 10,000 flyers, and we maybe get a couple of visitors from it. And it's just a part of the society which we live in. But it doesn't give us a reason to be defeated. Doesn't give us a reason to be discouraged. It just reminds us that we need to be faithful. To be faithful and continue as the Leafs have done now. Boy, now, almost 40 years. Amazing. To keep at it. To keep on keeping on. And our job is never to sit. Amen. It's to serve. Our job isn't to sit. It's to serve until Jesus comes. And then we can sit around and the marriage supper of the Lamb and eat roast and potatoes and gravy. And some pecan pie. Amen. Mark chapter 2 this morning. Mark chapter 2. We'll take a few minutes here again as we think about last Sunday morning with Brother Robert Lewis being with us and what a blessing he was and just the challenge we had in the areas of missions. And then as Brother Leaf called me this week, said, hey, I'm going to be there in the morning. I said, well, let's have you at least talk to us. And I know some of you don't know how our missions work, but we support our missionaries individually. We support about 60 foreign missionaries. And we give them so much a month, and they usually start out around $70 a month, and some of them we support up to $120 a month. But with Brother Leaf coming this morning, I think they were at $70. He'll get a $25 raise. If they come see us every 3 or 4 years, they get a raise. And we did that years ago because I always felt guilty as a pastor having the returning missionary come see us when he could go to another church and maybe possibly get some more funds and maybe raise some new support. And I said, well, what if we gave them a raise when they came here? All of us would feel all good about it. And so I'm glad that Brother Leaf's here this morning and Miss Linda and can give us a report and establishing 8 works previously, now established 1 more work. That's 9. And I know he'll just keep on keeping on and establish more works. We also support his son, Benjamin, and we're looking forward to see how God continues to use them as well. But we think about our purpose as a church is the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to give them the gospel, to baptize them and then disciple them. And let's be reminded this morning, that is the purpose of the church. Missions is the heart of the church. And when a church ceases to fulfill its purpose, it ceases to be a church. When a church turns into a social club, it is no longer a church. We have a lot of buildings out there today that have signs in front of them that says church on them. But a lot of them are just simply gathering people together, fellowshipping, and going home. I'm telling you, I want to come to church, hear the message from the Word of God, and like this morning, be challenged to reach out to others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I said here a few weeks ago, and I was reminded of it, that we are not just to give to foreign missions. We're not just to give our money in the offering plate. Just giving your money in the offering plate does not excuse you from soul winning yourself. Giving money in the offering plate does not excuse you from telling somebody about Jesus Christ yourself. That giving money in the offering plate and praying for a foreign missionary is only part of the commission. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says that we are to go into Judea and to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. We're to go to the city of Haslett. We're to go to the city of the state of Texas. We're to go to America. And we're to go around the world. And we're to do it all at the same time. The only way I can do that is supporting missions. We support 20 church planters. We have 2 churches now that have been planted out of our church. Men have gone out of our church, and we have possibly another one coming up here in the near future. We're looking forward to that. That's what the purpose of the church is. But again, as we talk about service here and now, that we, as members of Heritage Baptist Church, we as Christians, those of you who are visiting, that we be involved in serving in some capacity. That we're involved in serving the Lord in some capacity. Look here at Mark chapter 12, Mark chapter 2 and verse 1. Mark chapter 2, verse 1 says, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And this is not my message this morning, but we ought to let people know that Jesus is here. We ought to let them know. We ought to encourage people to come to church and hear the story of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in verse 2, and straightway many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Again, not my message, but just point out that he preached the word unto them. He didn't give them a drama. He didn't give them some entertaining presentation. He didn't have the drama team up to explain the gospel to them. The Bible says he preached the word to them. And I'm telling you, the Bible says it's through the foolishness of preaching that people are saved. And let us never get away from, at Heritage Baptist Church, that the pulpit and the preaching being the center focus of what's done at our church during our services. Now, I enjoyed the choir. Man, well, the choir hit it this morning, didn't they? I mean, nailed it. And I enjoyed the choir. I enjoyed the music. But they are not the center focus. The Bible, the preaching of the Word of God, whether it's me or Brother Lewis last week or Brother Leaf preaching the Word of God at the pulpit, that is the primary tool. And that should be always the primary focus. Amen? Amen. Heritage Baptist Church, amen? And we want to keep the main thing the main thing. And the Bible says there again that a great crowd gathered. He preached the Word unto them. Verse 3, and they came unto Him bringing one sick of palsy, one who was paralyzed, which was born of four. Four carried Him. And when they could not come nigh unto Him for the press, the great crowd that was gathered around there, they uncovered the roof where He was. And when they had broken it up, they laid down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. And Jesus saw their faith. Whose faith? The four people. He said unto the sick of palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in the spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, He said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? I love this. He says, whether it's easier to say to the sick of palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. Which is easier? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, He saith to the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they all, that were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for the morning. We thank You for the Christ-honoring music we've heard this morning that has uplifted our hearts. We thank You for the report from Brother Leaf and what God is doing there in Brazil. God, we pray this morning for Your Word that's being brought forth at this point, at this moment. We understand and know that we'll not return void. I pray this morning that we all would be challenged to be persistent in our service. We ask this in Your name. Amen. Why did Jesus come to this world? Why was He born in that manger? Why did He live a sinless life for 33 and a half years? Why did He allow Himself, and the Bible says He laid Himself there on that cross and died and was buried and rose again? Why? The Bible says in Luke that He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus Christ came to save sinners just like me. We are challenged by Jesus Christ and commissioned as a church to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That means our next door neighbor. That means our co-worker. That means our friends. That means those here in Burleson or Corpus Christi or those in Boston. Wherever there are people, we are commissioned, the Bible says, to reach them. To tell them the good story, the good news of Jesus Christ. And His selfless life. His sinless life. Of His sacrificial death on Calvary. His substitutionary death on Calvary. His burial and His resurrection on the third day. You see, there are many today who are lost. There are many today who wander in darkness. Here we see one who is paralyzed. One who is sick of palsy. He is physically paralyzed, but more importantly, he is spiritually paralyzed. By the way, to be physically paralyzed is terrible, but to be spiritually paralyzed is a lot worse. To not have Jesus Christ as Savior is far worse. The physical paralysis of this man pictures the spiritual paralysis of the lost and dying world. You see, there are so many out there today who are spiritually crippled, who are helpless and hopeless, without hope, in need of a Savior, in need of a Savior, in need of that light, in need of the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the glorious gospel. You see, this man could not help himself. He'd have four men or four individuals bring him to the Savior. This man was hopeless. This man was without strength to help himself. Can I tell you this morning, if you're here and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, that you are without strength to help yourself, that you cannot work your way to heaven, that you cannot get an inch closer to heaven than you are today without Jesus Christ, that those who are paralyzed are hopeless and helpless without the great physician who came and who seeks the lost and seeks the paralyzed and saves them and strengthens their bodies, spiritually speaking. There are many today who have many obstacles in the way. They say, well, preacher, I would get saved. I would come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I just don't know that I can live a life that would allow God to save me. I don't know that I can hold on and press through. And I don't know that I could persevere in order to reach heaven one day. See, that's not the case. that's not the case at all. See, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to hold on. You don't have to do this or do that in order to have eternal life. You must simply put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. His life, His death, and His resurrection. I want to clarify too, just committing your life to Jesus does not save you. Just turning over a new leaf does not save you. Just giving your life to Jesus does not save you. It's placing your faith and trust in His life, His death, and His resurrection that saves you. It's asking for forgiveness of sins. It's feeling the guilt of sin and knowing that your sin put Him on the cross of Calvary. Knowing that your sin and my sin is the reason why He shed His blood on the cross of Calvary. And going to Jesus Christ and praying to Him and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I realize my sin caused you your awful, awful death and what you did for me. But Lord, thank you for what you did for me. And Lord, I believe that you lived and you died and you rose again that I might have eternal life. Lord, I believe and I trust in you as my only means of salvation. And He'll save you. By the way, He'll save you every time. You don't have to hold on to Jesus. No, He holds on to you. So many people have the obstacle of turning over a new leaf. Well, when I stop drinking, I'll ask the Lord to save me. Or when I stop this, or when I stop this, or when I live a little better life. Listen, it's not what the Bible says. You accept Christ as Savior, He'll change your life. It's not vice versa. Many obstacles that keep us from coming. You think about this press, this people that were around there, and the people could not bring him to Jesus. And there are many obstacles of why people are not able to come to Jesus or do not come to Jesus. Sometimes it's just the simple testimony and doubting other Christians. I've come across and witnessed to many people who said, well, preacher, I'd come to your church, but all those hypocrites down there, there's no way I'm coming down there. I knew so-and-so who said he was a Christian, but listen to what he did. Or this person calls himself a Christian, or she calls himself a Christian at my work, and she's right in there telling the bad stories and right in there cussing with the rest of them. I just don't know that Christianity is for me. Listen, a lot of people stumble over hypocrites out there who call themselves Christians and never get saved. Listen, one day you're going to stand before God. Your excuse cannot be, well, you know, that Christian, he's going to ask you. You are accountable for your own spirit and soul. You're accountable. Not your next door neighbor and not that hypocrite Christian. Now, he or she will be accountable for their own. One day they'll answer for being a hypocrite. We need to be careful. You need to be careful about doubting and not accepting Christ because of other so-called Christians. Some doubt Christ and His ability to save. Boy, I tell you what, Jesus Christ has kept every promise to me He's ever made. He's promised to never leave nor forsake me. He's never left me nor forsake me. He's promised to supply all my needs. He's always supplied all my needs. He's promised to save me. He's saved me. And I'm so glad today I don't doubt it. I know that He saved me. I'm saved today, yesterday, and tomorrow. Think about those who may not get saved because of discouragement. They've been living in sin and they are just drawn down because of sin. They're burdened because of the sin in their life. They just don't believe that Jesus could save somebody like them. Listen, God, Jesus Christ will save anyone. If he saved Paul, He'll save you. Paul was a murderer. God saved him. Certainly God will save you. Well, preacher, you know, I've tried a few times. I, accepted Christ as Savior a few, two or three times, and I've just never gotten peace about it, and I still just really feel like I'm not saved, and I doubt it all the time, and so forth and so on. Listen, boy, you need to check up. Well, now I'd be ashamed if I had to walk the aisle again and accept Christ as my Savior again, knowing that other people know that and think that I'm saved. And, well, you better be sure that you know that you know that you know that you're saved. And your pride keeping you from coming down the aisle because of some decision you made when you were 4 or 5 or 6 or some decision you made on a whim and you weren't fully aware of what was going on and not even really ready to receive Christ, better not keep you from receiving Christ now. Amen? I'm telling you. Don't allow discouragement. Don't allow whether or not you're sure or not to keep you from making a profession of faith. Christian, this morning, maybe somebody here who doesn't know Jesus as Savior, Jesus loves you. Aren't you glad of that? Think about it. These men brought this man, sick of palsy, to Jesus. Jesus didn't scold them for tearing the roof up. I think sometimes we just like to get in with our neighbor or kinfolk and just scold them for their sin in their life. Listen, you don't scold somebody who's lost for the sin in their life. You just give them Jesus. You tell them the love of Jesus. You tell them of the great sacrifice that Christ made on the cross of Calvary. Jesus welcomed them. I want us as a church to be very careful about what we do around the church building on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday nights. That we don't allow people just to pass us by whom we don't know and not say hello and welcome them and shake their hand. Amen? I don't even care about first impressions as far as the context here is speaking of. I'm talking about welcoming somebody and let them know that we care. That we love them. That we care for them. Listen, we must be very careful. You think about that for a moment, that a child is just as much wanting when they're sick, when a child is sick, they're wanting medicine, yes, but they're also wanting that mother's attention. that mother or that father's love and that hug or that love that is shown to that child when they are sick is just as important as the Benadryl that we give them. And can I tell you, when somebody is sick of palsy, when somebody's lost, they want to know how much you care before they know how much you know. Amen. Just let them know your love. Let them know the love of Jesus. Well, the love of Jesus is something wonderful, isn't it? We need to shed forth that love. Love the sinner. Love the lost person. And, of course, we ought to love the drifting Christian as well. Boy, sometimes we get out our judgment stick, won't we? At those who are saved and maybe drifting or may become carnal or cold, and we begin to make judgment upon them. We need to be very careful. All of us are guilty of that. Very careful and love that Christian who may be faltering, who may have fallen. The Bible says when a brother falls, pick him up. Encourage them. Love them. Be a blessing to them. We think about that. They were persistent in their the paralyzed sinner. We think of the paralyzed sinner. And then secondly, we think about the powerful Savior. I won't spend a whole lot of time here because we just went over it some. But Jesus Christ can save. I can't save anybody. But Jesus Christ can. He can save. Jesus saves. It's not whether you're a member of a Baptist church, a Presbyterian church, or a Methodist church, or a Catholic church, whatever the case is. What matters is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you trusted in Him as your Savior? Do you know Him? He can save. And number two, He can keep. And I don't have time. You can write these references down and look them up. But 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 through 5, and Jude verses 24, 25, John chapter 10. I take you to so many verses. The Bible says that He will keep us from falling, that we are kept in the hands, that we are kept in the hands of Christ, that no man can pluck us out of the Father's hands. Amen? That we are kept, and we do believe, and the Bible teaches that once we're saved, we are always saved. I don't lay my head down at night and wonder whether or not I'm saved that day because I happen to think a bad thought. I'm glad I know that I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm glad I don't lay down my head at night and wonder, well, did I was harsh with my wife a little bit. I wonder if God will see that as sin or not. I wonder if maybe I won't go to heaven if I die tonight. Maybe I will. No. I'm saved and I'm saved for all eternity. I'm kept by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am saved. You think about it for a moment. David messed up. I wonder how many times Peter messed up. You know, we think about Peter for a minute. Always sticking his foot in his mouth, right? always stick it. I like Peter and David because we can identify with them, right? As Christians, we can identify with them and say, hey, David messed up, Peter messed up, and God forgave them. But certainly God didn't kick him out of the family. Listen, I'm glad today the Bible makes it very clear that if we confess our sins as Christians, as born-again children of God, when we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're saved this morning, you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, and you have fallen, you have faltered, simply go to Jesus and fall on your knees and ask for forgiveness, and He will forgive you today. And He'll forgive you every time, 1,000 times. Not only can He save, He can keep, but He can use you. We preach many times that if God could use a raven to feed Elijah, He can certainly use you to serve and to sacrifice for Him. Well, preacher, I don't have the talent that so-and-so has. Well, certainly not the comparison you should be making. God has given you talent. God has given you gifts to use in serving Him. You use your talent for Him. You use your gift. You're only accountable for your gifts to God. And you use your gift to serve. And lastly this morning, and this is where I'm going to spend, if you guys give me 5 more minutes, the persistence of the saints. The persistence of the saints. I could spend a lot of time, I could just preach a whole message on this, and maybe later on I will, but you think about these 4 men who were persistent. They didn't allow the crowd to be an obstacle of getting this man to Jesus Christ, but they went on top of the house, took part of the shingles off, and let this man down. They didn't allow the crowd to deter them from their service to this man or to Jesus, but they brought him to Jesus. They were persistent. I could preach on how we should be persistent in holy living. We should never give up trying to live and be like Jesus Christ. I could preach on how we should be persistent in our prayer life and our Bible reading. And we could go on down the list. But this morning I want to spend some time on being persistent in our love. Our love for others. We as Christians, and we're thinking about the new year now, first Sunday of the new year. As Christians, we can and do many times get cold in our Christian life. Many times we get to the place in our Christian life where we have to drive ourselves to do the work of God. We have to drive ourselves to read our Bible. We have to make ourselves serve. Is that the place you're in this morning? Maybe you've allowed obstacles to deter you from serving the Lord. What is the solution? The solution is to get to Jesus. The solution is to get on your knees and to think once again about the sacrifice that Christ made for you on Calvary. The solution is to think about how much He loved you, how much He sacrificed for you. And because of the sacrifice He made for us, we should, and the love He showed for us, so should we show that same love to others. So should we show that same selfless love for others and keep loving others. There is no power in loveless evangelism. And can I tell you, if you're teaching or if you're working in some capacity in the church and you've lost your love for others, you've lost your compassion for those around you, that you've also lost your power in your service. Oh, we can all go through the motions. I can preach through the motions. I can preach. I can sing There's Power in the Blood without even thinking about the song. I can go through the motions of Christianity. I can continue on. And at times we do. There's an up and down. Amen. All of us have been there. At times we do have to motivate ourselves sometimes. But listen, there ought to always be a time we come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. There ought to always be a time in which we go around the crowd and get to Jesus. And we persistently get back to loving others as we love ourselves. And serving because we want to, not because we have to. How do we kindle this fire that we should have and this compassion that we should have? And that's by keeping Jesus on our hearts and keeping on our knees. Begging Jesus Christ for the love of His love to show for others. Again, thinking of what He went through. Maybe this morning there needs to be in this new year a resurrender. Maybe you need to come to the Lord and just say, Lord, I surrender anew my life to You to tell others of You. to serve you in what capacity you would have me to serve. The Bible says, though the soul in tears reap in joy. Maybe it's just time for us to come and pray and seek God's face. Lord, rekindle the fire in my heart. We should be persistent in our loving. We should be persistent in our lifting up. You think about these four individuals who lifted up this man, lowered him down to Jesus Christ. And we need to be careful about lifting up others, encouraging others. How do we do that? By our testimonies. We already talked about hypocrites, Christians, and so forth. We need to live a life that's pleasing to Jesus Christ in order that we might be a testimony to those around us. Amen. They should never see us cuss. I'm sorry, they should never hear us cuss. They should never see us dressed immodestly. Amen? They should never see us go into a bar, no matter what it's called. They should never see us do unseemly things or anything immoral. They should never see us gather around a crowd and tell a dirty joke. Tell a joke with a cuss word in it. Oh, it's just one, we're all right. No, as Christians, there ought to be a difference. We ought to be a testimony to those around us. You say, preacher, you're one of them old-time preachers that still preaches standards. Yes. Yes, what's happened? Jesus said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Well, and that's talking about, don't give me a bunch of theological mumbo-jumbo. Practically speaking, it means live as Jesus would live. Would Jesus listen to what you're listening to? Would Jesus condone what you're wearing? Would Jesus talk like you're talking? Would Jesus go where you're going? Could you bring Jesus into where you're going? If you can't, by the way, I'll make it even a little more simple for you. If you would be ashamed for your preacher to be there, you shouldn't go there. Amen. You know, if you sit down in a rated R movie and a sexual scene came on the screen and you looked over and your pastors are there, wouldn't that be creepy? Well, then you shouldn't be there either. Why would you go there? We should be a testimony to those around us. We don't do certain things. You say, well, don't. Them preachers, them old time preachers, all they do. No, it's do. Listen, there's so much more that I can do than I don't. Amen. Man, I've gotten liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have the love of Jesus in my heart. Man, there's so much more that I can do. And the don'ts are there to protect me. Amen. To help me. Amen. The don'ts are there for my good. Just like the don'ts you give your dear children that are there for their good. It's very simple, isn't it? But so hard to do. Hard to live that consistent life. We need to be persistent, continually challenging, if you would, ourselves to live a life that's pleasing to Jesus Christ, to be a testimony to those around us, in order that we might lift them up, in order that we might be a testimony to them, and be able to give them Jesus. Give them a visit. Give them a tract. Plead with them the cause of Jesus Christ. These men loved this man. These four individuals loved this man, and they loved him. They brought him to Jesus. They led him to Jesus, and they lifted him up. Let us have that same persistency to love others around us and to lead them to Jesus Christ and to lift them up. Persistency, persistency. Just keep at it. Keep at it in spite of the crowd. We live in a sinful world full of paralyzed people, but we have a powerful Savior who can save and keep and use anyone. We need to be persistent saints who love others and have compassion for those around us, who lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ, and who lift others to Jesus Christ. One more thing and I'm done. I think about my life over the years and the church's life since its inception 12 years ago. There have been probably three or four times in which I've got the pulpit and said, what kind of church do you want to be? There was a time right before we moved in this building where that was nearly our theme. Some of y'all remember that. We had a theme about, anyway, what kind of church do you want to be? I'm asking you, what kind of Christian are you? Are you a loving Christian? Are you leading others to Jesus? Are you lifting up others? What kind of pastor do you want? I have always tried to find some middle ground when it comes to accountability and encouraging our leadership to visit and do. At times we signed and we have signed leadership requirements and all these other things. And at times I've offended people. At other times I have other people who say, "Preacher, you know, you're not strict enough." And then I get pulled the other way. And, well, now I'm serving because I have to, not because I want to. And by the way, if you think I'm pointing somebody out, there's about 30 of you who all kind of this direction, that direction with the preacher. But one thing I learned a long time ago, and it was said to me, "Preacher, I'm sorry," an older pastor told me, "you'll give up on all that stuff someday. You'll stop having leadership requirements, and you'll give up." And yeah, you know what happens when you do that? You have two show up for soul winning. When the leadership won't be the example of loving others and leading others and lifting others up, where are we? We have soul winning kickoff Tuesday and Saturday. I know everybody can't make it. Some people have to work. And it's absolutely between you and God. I'm not going to send you a letter and, you know. But I will say this. I'm going to continue to be persistent about making people accountable who are in leadership position. That we continue to love others, showing that love, leading them, and lifting them up to Jesus. I might not always do a perfect job at it. Because I don't want anybody to serve because they have to. I want everybody to serve. I want to serve because I want to, not because I have to. But I also want us as a church to be the kind of church that you want. And that is a soul-winning church. And that's only done by the pastor and the staff being example. And then by the volunteer staff being example. Finance team being example. And then the layperson being that example. And all of us working together to reach others with the gospel. Here's the key. Persistency. Oh, it's up and down. Two hardest things in our church to stay consistent at is prayer meetings and soul winning. It's up and down like this, and it has been over the years. It's cyclical. It cycles around. You know, one year we'll have 50 show up for soul winning and 50 in the prayer meeting. The next year we have 7 or 8. But as your pastor, I want to consistently be persistent and continue to try and find that common ground and to continue to reach out to our community, loving others around us and leading them to Jesus and lifting them up. I know that's what you want. I know that's what I want. We just got to find that common ground and keep at it. Be persistent. Just keep trying. Don't give up. Let's all stand.